What's up, listeners? JTM here, and I wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Serviceware. Serviceware is an Apple-authorized service provider located in Pleasanton, California. This family-owned and operated business started in 1981 as an electronics repair shop and has since become an industry leader in both phone and computer repair for all of your Apple product needs. Owner Justin Carvacho is also an avid listener to the podcast, and as TGG's first official sponsor, we couldn't be more excited for the partnership. So next time your Apple product's on the fritz, cut the long lines at the Apple store and shop local. Head on over to Serviceware, where you can rest assured that Justin and his team will give it back to you better than they found it. Learn more at serviceware.com. That's servicewr.com. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. Welcome back, baby, to the TTG podcast. It's your main man, Jeremy Trutnasi. JTM in the kitchen, if you're nasty.
Ew.
Ew.
It's so gross. Ew.
John, can we start over?
No, no, keep going. Just keep going.
Run it.
Damn.
Run
it. No, it's been a...
ew.
Sorry. It's Friday, guys.
No, you committed. Keep going.
What the? Yeah.
There's DJ Smooth in the building today. I'm here with my crew, the one and only SVC, Savannah Banana over yonder.
Hello.
And Matt... Matt's been working out for the Open. He's been out in the sun, and he's come back to us a little larger, a little more in charger.
Darker and somehow more ethnic.
This is the... we've got the beige... no, we've got a special guest in studio whose voice you should remember and face you should recognize, assuming you're watching us on Spotify. We have the one and only Nakoa Coco Chun.
Correct.
In the house. What's happening?
Hey.
And it's his birthday, so we figured, why not come hang out with us and talk some shit and have some fun? Happy birthday, man.
Thanks, man.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
We made it. So,
That's pretty.
This is going to be, all the episodes hopefully are fun. We've got yummy things to eat here, brought to us by Jerkin' It, who is over at Altamont today. It is a Jamaican jerk factory. Mm. I did the pork and beef ribs, got some mac and cheese. They recommended the mac and cheese over the rice and red rice and beans today.
Wow.
So we're just...
It's a Jamaican staple, so they must feel really strong about
that. I know, the mac and
cheese
was fire today.
Yeah.
It must have been. I asked her, too. I was like, whichever one you think I should eat. Although then the next person ordered it, and I was like...
Damn, I should get that too.
You
hate it when they customize their order and you're like, whoa.
What did you order? Gravy on the top and the bottom? Damn it. Oh, and then it's probably because I didn't get spicy sauce and they're like, this motherfucker ain't ready.
You didn't get spicy sauce?
No, because.
No, it's okay. You don't have to justify it.
Well, because like I asked her and I was like, is it like. Are you fucking with people? Because like, is it hella spicy? Yeah. How many peppers on the Scoville scale?
Yeah.
Because like, I gotta eat this on a podcast, right? So I was like, let's go regular.
Okay.
She was like, that's probably the best idea. So
she sounds great. I love Jamaican food. There was a Jamaican randomly because I grew up in the Central Valley where there's like very few restaurants, but there was one in Newman,
big,
so the town
Jamaican
over.
Population in Newman.
Shout out.
So there was one Jamaican restaurant in Newman, and I remember our family, like, we would go there quite often. Like, one, you're just like excited that there's a new restaurant of like, and it could be
flavors.
Anything.
Yeah.
But like, specifically, this Jamaican restaurant was really good. We really liked it. Yeah,
well, I mean, I'm here for it. I love it. We haven't had Maurice on just yet from Oyo in Pleasanton.
Oh, so good.
Spicing up Pleasanton.
Well, his is cool because he's like a mixture like of South American food, which we've been there for a friend's birthday. So fucking good.
It's big flavors. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It's big flavors.
Actually, we should get him on. I know. How have we not?
Just, you know, days and time.
I don't know. We always have like a long list and then we go to schedule and we're like, oh my God, we don't know.
We get ahead of ourselves and then we don't. But hey, we're back, y'all. Welcome. Welcome back. Episode 5, 6-ish. I'm definitely losing track of what episodes we're on, but I think you would have just enjoyed John Marchand. We did a little how to get the most out of 2024. I just listened to that episode. It was good. There were some gems in there. I think we did a good job. So hopefully you all found some gems, a few things that you can use to help grow and achieve amazing things. But we're back and we're drinking some wine today. It's been a while.
It's a wine episode.
Savannah brought three wines that we're going to blind taste today.
Yeah. Friendly wines.
Some friendly wines. I'm probably going to get them wrong because everything's going to taste like bar.
Guys, we're
not quite.
Not
we'll,
quite.
We'll do, no, we'll save that for
what's
when we clear
what's
out
like
your
a
guys'
smaller,
cellar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A smaller version of a...
A taster's...
Sample.
Soiree. Wow.
Taster's
that
soiree.
One out of left field. So we'll give you guys a minute. Go ahead and load us up on Spotify. So you guys can tune in. I swear, like, we're going to catch up with YouTube a little bit so you can continue watching us there as well. But Spotify, you can watch us every week, every Tuesday, and see the cool things we're eating, drinking.
Faces we're making.
Definitely faces we're making.
Sidebars. I don't know if any of the sidebars are included.
They're probably
not.
Space bars.
You got a
1999. Do you know how many times I like lean back and I'm like, Mac. To him right here. And then him and I are like.
It's a good time, man. We have fun. Otherwise, we're here. It's warm outside, man. This is a great day.
Yeah. We're about to run into some really nice weather next weekend, too, right?
Yeah. One of my coworkers came in shorts.
Oh, yeah. Sunday, right? Yeah, it's a Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Get friendly here.
Here we go. It's just, I mean, the year has started. So, I mean, how are you guys doing, listeners? February was, we got an extra day out of it. I think we said this on the podcast. I think on leap years, that 29th of February, it should be ours. It should be like a day off. No one works.
I like that.
The world goes dark on February 29th. That's mine. Yeah. Give me that, right? Yeah.
In general, I'd like to go back to the pagan ways of almost everything.
bring us back.
Back when we decided to make productivity a moral, like, or lack thereof, a moral sin. Let's go back to when it was cool to be lazy.
I can take that.
I would like to relax guilt-free for at least, you know what? It doesn't have to be every day, but I'm here for it. For February 29th should be the day.
There was a tidbit, I think, on NPR, and there was just like one thing I took note of. I was like, oh, you get an extra day at the gym for free. I'm like, oh, you're right. You do. Like, technically, you do. I'm like, that's really cool.
I like where your head's at.
I love your positivity, Nicola.
So for those that don't recognize that beautiful Coco voice over there or his face, Nicola is Savannah's husband.
Yeah.
Who is one of our most avid listeners. And I have to say it that way because Apple listens to the podcast.
Yeah. Apple and Nicola definitely fight
for
first.
She's texting me right now. She's like, I'm just kidding.
She heard it.
No. But he's a big supporter. And he's joined us all the time, especially on these wine-centric podcasts. So we usually have him a couple times a season. So get used to it, suckers. He'll be back.
Thank you, guys.
So welcome back, bud.
Yeah. Thanks.
Enjoying your birthday so far?
It's great. It's been great so far,
How are the thank yous going?
It's a lot. I think I told you guys, it's nice. It's nice to see people, wish you a happy birthday.
Yep.
But it's a lot to say thank you to every single person. I think everybody can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to message them. You want to say a heartfelt, thank you.
Yep.
But at the same time, it is a lot to message every single, you want to blind CC just everybody.
Outside of direct family that you talk to on the phone, at least this year, last year, I just waited till the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because it's still a lot, but if we're going to do this exercise, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, all at once while I'm sitting in bed going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And seriously, thank you. But
I think just sending thank you is I think what Nicola wants to do is send thank you so much. I really miss you. I hope everything's really well in your life. He wants to go on to these really nice things.
Make a conversation.
There's not enough time, Nicola. You have to just say thank you.
Sometimes you get people who,
and they respond or something.
No, there's people who message you happy birthday and you haven't talked to them in a while. You never know what they're going on in life, So it's always.
You want to respond.
You want to give them some love,
But we're humans, so it gets fatiguing. Yeah. And that's all. Yeah. That's all. So we're grateful for things. So we're grateful.
My thumbs are tired,
It's a workout.
Otherwise,
we're doing it. Yeah. So, sorry, I'm just sucking on some mac and cheese. This stuff is good. So, I say let's start with the news before we get into the wine.
Okay.
Because a few things are happening. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, nothing crazy. But Cured Fish is officially open. We talked about that already. We're still waiting on the Honeycomb Lounge, which is the Sons of Liberty expansion. Mm-hmm. It's going to be their cool speakeasy.
Mm-hmm. Which doing Savannah events right now.
We're doing events right now. Savannah won't go in it because she has tryptophobia.
I will go in. I just, am very, I need to.
And I'm pretty positive.
My eyes have to be kind of like a little bit down. And again, what's kind of nice though, is that they have these like huge like lamps that if you position yourself just correctly, they're in front of the photos that kind of eat me out.
That eat
so,
you out?
Yeah. I'm so if sure I position myself just fine, or what will happen, like when we went and looked at it and I was with Amy winging, I was just making so intense eye contact with Amy with everything she was saying because I couldn't look around.
So I'm pretty sure
she's also beautiful. So it's not like it was a hard thing, but
that was Weird Podcast is about you, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Well, it was funny. We just ran into Rachel on this past week. Yeah, oh, on Sunday during the race day.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about it. Her podcast is really great. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting down
she
with her.
She also just has great voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel, you're doing a great job. So, you know, another local podcast. We're a local business. We like to support local businesses and all that jazz. And there's another local podcast worth listening to. Rachel Kleist. That is Weird. That's a Weird Podcast.
That was Weird.
That was Weird Podcast. Right? She's about four episodes in.
Gotcha.
And they're good listens. They're, you know, they range from, I mean, in their infancy, 15 to 42 minutes. They're good listens. She's picking fun topics and you're doing a good job.
That
right?
was Weird Podcast.
That was Weird Podcast. Yeah.
And it's not easy. We sat down. It's not easy doing a solo stint either. And
she comes prepared.
Yeah.
She has facts a great voice. So it's facts, nice to man. Listen
yeah.
to.
Yeah. She went I'm back to the Babylonian it. Days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well done. So give it a listen, guys. Yeah. Do it. Do it for
I
us.
I learned something about my own account. I was like, oh, whoa, that's cool.
So otherwise, we're just talking our shit and it's a good time. Otherwise, in the news.
I got it in the news and I'm really excited about. Happy Acre did announce that their upcoming spring CSA, they will offer two boxes. So you have the box that is of current size. So what like you're getting what they currently do, that's one option. It's called their large box, but they're doing a small box.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit less and you're going to have about 5 to 6 items. So for families where there's like maybe two of you, it's a better, yeah,
oh,
you're like, it's, I don't want to say better, but it's just, it's a proportion that seems like a little bit reasonable. But if you have a family, the bigger box is what you're going to go
totally
to.
Totally makes sense. But the small ones are nice because there's just some weeks where you're like, fuck, I just can only eat so many root vegetables in a week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a unique challenge. So I'm glad to hear that.
Or like right now the lettuce is so much, but what is kind of nice about the large box, this is what I will say, we were just talking about, and we're like, oh, we'll do the small one. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I can only give
up
the large one.
Yeah, but I don't want to give up the things. What if I don't get that?
Also having something to like give away to, I don't know. I like giving stuff to people. So sometimes it's nice. Fair. Like I saw Jimmy's girlfriend, Katie at Story when I was picking up this week. And we had a head of lettuce that we had already had from the previous week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think you should eat this. I think you would really like it. And I was like, do you want it? And she said, I mean, yeah, of course.
I mean,
and
fresh it was nice. Vegetables, are you kidding me?
I do miss having lettuces nice. In the fridge.
Just at the fucking ready. It's so nice. And they're like, so fresh.
Yeah. It's good stuff. That's good to know because they're spring.
So that's coming up in spring.
Spring and summer boxes are the best.
Yeah, I want to say they're so fucking good. The spring box will start this upcoming April. Yeah, because we're on the late winter, and I believe ours ends like maybe first week of April. So
we'll go get your Happy Acre Spring CSA. Go check them out on the podcast as well if you want to learn more. They had a wonderful episode here, and they chatted all about it.
And they also, I'm on the newsletter, and I'm part of the CSA, so I know all this. Also, they have a really fun event coming up that I was reading on. It's a salad workshop, but it's not just like learning to make a salad.
Okay.
So you're going to go there and then Matt and August are going to give you a tour of the farm. Sorry, how fucking cute is that?
August is their son, little Augie.
They're going to give you a little tour of the farm and then you're going to go in and you're going to like learn a little bit about like the different ingredients that Helena has like already like set up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be the one doing like the salad demo. You'll make your salad and then you'll go out and apparently harvest a few pieces of like vegetables to take home with you.
Oh, I love that.
And it's all for $75. Like what a fun experience.
You just find this information online as well? Or?
You can find this information online. This is on their newsletter. But if you go to their website and you click on the salad workshop, you'll find all the information on there. I don't know. It just sounds so fun, especially with the weather getting nice.
I can dig that because one of the things I think about often when I go to Range Life is like, I think if someone were to say the word salad, I think there's like two salads that come to mind. A Caesar salad.
Mm.
And that like summery one that always has cherry tomatoes and those stupid shredded carrots in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But like
rabbit food.
But like the salad
rabbit
game.
Rabbit food or Caesar salad.
Is like yeah. so dope. You can do mm-hmm. so many things with lettuces and vegetables.
Savannah makes a like.
I'm kind of a really salad queen.
Salads. Is that right?
Yes. I fuck up some salad. I'm yeah. Listen, I'm going to say
she
I'm known for fucking
salads.
Up some salad.
Crushes some salad.
And you know what's so funny? My mom's really great at it. And maybe I picked it up from her at like a earlier age. By looking at me, you wouldn't think this bitch eats a lot of salads, but I promise you I do. I just eat a lot of stuff on the sides with it. But I fuck up a salad. And you know what? One of my favorite things about going to Range Life too is that their salads are so fucking good. And They're so every time I'm there, I get new inspiration. I'm like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to try this at home.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that I didn't know you could that. He's breaking the rules. And it's like, no, he's just using ingredients. Dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And don't get, and I think what will be really fun is if you're trying to figure out how to eat better and fresher things, the salad workshop is going to be great because it's going to show you the different ways. Because I think it could be a little overwhelming sometimes. And they're,
I'm struggling.
Helena, everybody over there is so fucking nice and it's so pretty out there. I think everybody should sign up and mm-hmm. do it. That's literally all the news that I have.
I asked them what the easiest thing to eat was on the podcast. And I definitely think ribs are the right answer, but like I'm struggling to put this rib in my mouth, eat the whole thing, get the barbecue sauce off both my hands and my fingers before it's my turn to talk again.
It's not going to happen. I mean, we Savannah can give you the time. Talk, I can so. Talk.
Savannah can fill that air. Let me
you
tell
you.
You
need to give me the fucking eyes yeah. and I'll know and I'll fill it in.
I'm just Don't sitting here worry. Staring at these and fucking like, ribs, mm-hmm. man. God damn it. Otherwise, you know, so another thing, and then well, actually shout out to, we can just talk.
There's a lot.
It was on the news. There was another Good Morning Maxwell. Collaborated with JMC Sellers, Chef Debbie. Right here in front of me, Patisserie by Simone. Mm-hmm. It was a great, and they pulled off what looked like an awesome
supper club yeah.
concept.
Yeah,
bringing and it was mad collaborative. Obviously you've heard
really
of
cool.
Didn't mm-hmm. it look great? Like you've seen the Wingans doing it and whatnot, mm-hmm. and you've seen other people do it, but
it's what the cool kids are doing, guys.
It's a great. I think I wish they never left. I think supper clubs is a wonderful way to. Eat food.
It's a great way to eat food. It's a great way to support a local business mm-hmm. as well. I'll be writing an article about this soon.
It's a great way to collaborate.
Yeah, great way to collaborate.
And it's special. It feels fun. It's festive. And I think from an industry standpoint, Jeremy, here's your time to snack.
Okay, 666.
From an
okay.
industry standpoint, a lot of restaurants, it's hard to run a full restaurant service Monday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work and the cost is really crazy. But for some of these people who are extremely talented, but their business model is just not set up for that, what's really fantastic about the Supper Club is that it allows them to do something they're extremely passionate at and that mm-hmm. they're extremely good at. And then they get to make, you know, a small margin of money off of it. So they're fulfilling kind of the need to want to explore creatively and do something special without having to run a mm-hmm. full service every single day. Because mm-hmm. that is a lot and costs are really crazy right now. So if you can go to a supper club, please do. It's supportive for them. And it's also just fun for you. Like, it's mm-hmm. a very special night.
And they're, well, yeah, and I don't want to say they're going, well... They're almost a little extra special. I was chatting with Amy or Bill about it. But like why? So one of the reasons why it's hard to find experience, you know, back of house help right now, is because supper clubs are working and it mm-hmm. gives those individuals the opportunity to kind of, to do their own thing.
Yeah.
They might still have a full time job somewhere and whoop de whoop, but like they have the supper clubs are getting popular. Like, and they're not as vast in this region yet. But, you know, Oakland, San Francisco.
They're really growing, though.
They're growing. And it gives people the opportunity to, one, collaborate very, mm-hmm. very efficiently, broadly.
Yeah.
And also, like, what
gets
I like.
The creative juices going, right?
Yeah. Well, because you get to just pour. So, like, rather than, you know, the restaurant, even if you're a wonderful restaurant mm-hmm. where it's just, like, again and again and again, you get mm-hmm. to pour mm-hmm. all of the efforts into one dinner.
Yeah.
Which is, like.
And finding and running a regular dinner service all the time, it's hard. Yeah. You have to have consistent staff. The mm-hmm. staff has to know what they're doing. They have mm-hmm. to be able to do mm-hmm. it. And right now, labor, as it was in COVID and now mm-hmm. that even post-COVID, there's a huge issue with labor and trying to get labor into restaurants. And so that's why you're seeing a few more hybrid mm-hmm. models. And I mean, like, it's like great.
Commercial kitchens.
Like commercial kitchens. Yeah. People trying stuff. Mm-hmm. I was going to say. Are you talking about Wingen's one coming up on
Wingen's
the 23rd?
Wingen has one on March 23rd. It is sold out. They've done a year of them, which have been beautiful.
We're going to fucking get the next one.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're happening. They're happening. So if you're looking for a new fun way to, I don't know, surprise your wife or your husband or a friend with a gift that maybe they've never received before, buy them Supper Club tickets somewhere.
Yeah.
I promise you they'll have a freaking blast.
Yeah. And go in with... Sorry,
I think it's really cool, like, you know, with that Supper Club, you know, they... Most restaurants, you know, they stick to, like you were saying, Jeremy, like the... Whatever, they're only doing cheeseburgers or whatever it is. They're known for whatever. But then they go outside of that realm and like, we're going to do fish and we're going to like spice it up and do it my way and the way, very creative way. And you get to support these businesses that are trying to just venture out and see, maybe this is one way that they want to see if it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying really out a menu putting item. In some love into this and thought because like, you don't want to shit the bed with, you know, with another person that you're collaborating with.
So Jeremiah Tower or Trotter? I think, you know, I got a lot of inspiration from, there was a documentary on Netflix a while back. It was about Jeremiah Tower, who was one of the original executive chefs at Chez Panisse along Alice Waters. And Chez Panisse, while it was a restaurant, it was like the original California Supper Club.
Where is this because they restaurant? Would,
this is a Bay
this
was, Area.
This is Berkeley, Oakland.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Berkeley specifically.
Many
people will agree, like they revolutionized California cuisine. Yeah. They created California cuisine.
And what's his face died last 2 years
Jeremiah,
ago
Jeremiah, did he?
No. I forget what his name is, but
ask the producers.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, so I mean, like, Chez Panisse, if you're a Bay Area foodie, if you live in the Bay Area, you probably heard that name. If you haven't been, get there. Mm-hmm. And while they're a restaurant, I think they're one of the people who like helped build that concept or the idea of it as far as like recreating, because like the, you know, the menus would change every night or every week. Mm-hmm. And to the point you just made, it was awesome because they would change the themes, which is just fun.
Yeah.
You're not stuck to one thing and it's significantly more challenging. Kind of
like Jonathan Waters. Yeah. He died he was riding his bike. This was like a year or two ago.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, something. It was an accident.
Yeah. Like a car struck him and he
that's
died.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
But I think
Well, not right now.
I think it's like you were saying, you know, Wingen doing the seven was it the fish?
Feast of Seven Fishes so here's the thing. I asked Amy, I was like, can you please give me like a before heads up of like when you guys like before you announce like the next Supper Club? Because every time they've done a Supper Club, we already have something happening. Every time
we're going to Hawaii on this one. So
yep, we'll be gone.
Tragic.
And then the last one was the Feast of Seven Fishes. And I wanted to go so fucking bad. It absolutely killed me to not go. But we had our friend's Christmas party. Mm-hmm.
It's that's actually, I mean, kind of. Same.
We're gonna one of these days we're gonna fucking make it,
hey,
and it's gonna be so
you
good.
You can work out for
Look,
me.
I'll go to Hawaii. It's fine. I'll go to fucking Hawaii. Fine.
Compete for me.
Yeah.
You got
to church with Nakoa's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that sounds like a good time.
Can be.
I'll go.
I'm sorry.
Can't be.
I'm sorry. This first of all, let me make this very clear. This is not black church. Therefore, it is not very fun.
Okay. Then I take that back.
Yeah.
I'll go.
The one way you're going to get me a church, take me a black church. I will go to any black church because that's a good time.
It's lit.
I know we talked about it. Anyways.
Was it in the last episode? Yeah. Find yourself.
We've talked about it in another episode. It was a good
time. Well, hey. The
Supper clubs.
They're
go
wonderful.
Go in with good expectations too. Know that like you're not there. This isn't a regular like dining restaurant kind of experience. You're not going to go in, order your food and then eat your food and like go. Like this is experience. You're going to sit down like for a good amount of time and you're going to be there and you're going to enjoy it. Make conversation with the people around you. And these are going to come out in courses.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something that's probably important to know about Supper Club.
Menus generally.
Yeah.
And they're just a blast. I mean, you've probably experienced them even if you, a prefix menu of sorts. So,
yeah.
Supper clubs are happening. Shout out to Goodwill Maxwell. Good morning, Maxwell. Congratulations. Great collaboration. Chef Debbie, who is a friend, a supporter of the Spices, was happy to see her kind of get the food spotlight there for her first supper club. And to many, many more. Otherwise, did you guys get a chance to go to Octable downtown?
No.
Mm-mm.
It was this, I mean, it's right in between, it's right next
to... What do you mean
to,
it was?
Next
and then
to
it just
Bothman's,
open?
Right?
It was right, yeah, more or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Right next
what
to
do
Bothman's,
mean, what?
All of it. They were open for like 4 months and they're everything's boarded up and they're
really?
Almost
what?
Positive they're out of business. I learned that like a couple days ago and I'm like, what?
I thought they just, not entirely sure
why or what happened. Obviously, wow. Probably something pretty matter of fact and drastic, but like I had the chance to go there with some buddies and it was American Asian. And it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, you know, you go up, you order at a counter and they got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And they're and everything is like nothing's entree size. Everything's kind of shareable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
you know, and like that's the point. Cool. I'll take one of these. I get six items, four buddies. And it was a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, tableside service to the extent that they drop it off and they check in on you, but you order at the front. It was a nice experience.
I like that.
And the food was good.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, cool. We'd go back to that. And then, yeah, they were boarded up. And I was like, that stinks.
Didn't even get a chance.
Man.
Yeah.
So
a big old sign, too.
Yeah.
It's a big investment.
Bummer there. Not entirely sure what happened, but we lost one, which is, it's always unfortunate when those things happen. Not only just for Livermore, but like personally, that's.
Yeah.
It's not just not cheap. It's a big investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big investment. So wishing them the best. Hopefully they figure it out. Maybe they found a better place and I don't know. Who knows? Otherwise.
Construction's happening. What does that mean?
Yeah. Haven't you guys been seeing the construction downtown? It's happening.
Are you talking about Stockman's behind?
Parking
lot,
all that jazz. So, you know, road closures and whatnot. But the point is they're trying to make significant progress to get ready for the summertime and whatnot. And we're still,
because final product was supposed to be, it's supposed to be 2025.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That lot should be done by 2025 between the parking garage.
Well, doesn't it have a few different phases? Because there's the parking garage that's going right
that's
behind.
Like next year. So I take that back.
And that's supposed to be done, right?
That's I think the parking elements will
be. But aren't they... Correct me if I'm wrong. The parking lot eventually, the parking garage that they're building eventually goes away. Correct?
No. That remains. That remains. But what the missing elements are?
Oh, sorry. Wait. Okay. So parking garage is probably smaller than what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So parking garage.
We're missing
the homes,
the Eden housing.
Yeah. And then the additional buildings.
We're missing the Spark Theater.
Yeah. That's okay.
And those
will happen.
They'll happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They will not be done by 2025. Some of those are
it's not like we already have a bunch of empty buildings anyways and people having a hard time like keeping their business open. So like it's, you know,
and
at this point, what's the rush?
The gravel parking lot is like a little charming.
It is.
Yeah, you pull in there real all dusty and then you just walk into Tap 25. So I'm excited to see it done and, you know, all pretty and whatnot. But like for now, personally, I don't mind the gravel parking lot.
What gravel parking lot I also like is the one that's right by Range Life. And it's got the NASA.
Oh, yeah.
I just like being right in there and seeing that NASA.
Just, hey, if you're looking to invest in something, guys, parking lots are a great investment. Great investment.
Keep them dirt. Keep that one dirt. We like that one dirt.
Just kidding. Paul's probably fucking just like this fucking guy. All right. Well, here.
As he pulls up on his horse.
Hey, Paul's not fucking around on the horses. He's getting some skills.
Oh, yeah.
We chatted him up about it.
Yeah.
Is he a Billings Equestrian?
Yeah.
That's how
we found Sam to begin with. Is
you didn't see
I was asking him for suggestions
with the horse.
With his horse. Yeah, Paul's fucking it up. Hey, keep talking shit. Paul's gonna roll up and like he's gonna like start picking us off by the ankles with his roping.
He's roping now.
He's prepping his roping skill.
Well, I mean, as he should. Him and I we joke about that shit all the time because we both sit on that general planning commission. We both have a very similar idea of what we want from Livermore or want Livermore to become, but it does look different in conversation, right? So
absolutely.
Like it's the same until it's not.
Yeah.
But the point is like we just razz the hell out of one another. And on this committee, we talked, I think. Well, what's the
intrusive thought?
We were gonna bring back the horse. You know, where you tie your horse up and down, downtown or whatnot.
Oh my God! Wait, that's actually. Can we do that?
Widen the streets, have a horse lane instead of bike lanes?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. Honestly, I'm a big fan of First Street from Maple to L.
Yeah.
Should be walkable. I don't think we should have any cars down that one.
I agree. That would be kind of nice. Or maybe at least during the summertime or something.
Then I gotta ride my little horse down there. I don't have a horse, but I'll get one.
It is charming too, like, you know, when we go to Sycamore or anywhere, actually.
Oh, and
you
the horses
just see
are
the
out
horses
on the trail?
Just, walking the trails,
fire.
With a sign that says, hey, you know, watch out, there's horses, bikes, and then, you know, walkers.
Yeah.
Like,
It's like, oh, that's
it's really cool.
That's yeah.
Trop. So, hey, Livermore, if you haven't been here, come and see us. It's a beautiful town. We got a little bit of everything. The last
rodeo's announced.
Yeah, there you go.
The rodeo is going to be on June 8th and 9th.
From 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. because it is the fastest rodeo in the
fastest
Wild West.
So rodeo.
We're looking for a wrestler here. I got you.
If you need somebody on your steer wrestling team, please reach out to us. Nakoa is dead serious on doing
dead
this.
Serious.
I can vouch. Yeah. So he's got a great attitude.
Favorite event by far
is the steer wrestling. Yeah. He's got a great attitude. He is a champion wrestler. He is a state champion wrestler.
You're a
he's
state champion.
Second place.
Nico is
That's
a state
champion, bro.
It's Are a you state kidding champion. Me? And judo, right?
Fifth or sixth or something.
And
like that
a state.
Judo.
Listen, he's got skills. If you need somebody on your steer wrestling team, let him know. I've seen him on a horse. He's got some skills.
Yeah. Dibs.
Should we make a team?
Ooh.
Let's get a team. We'll figure it out.
We'll save, this
so
for offline. So if anyone's still tracking,
I just had
we promised you guys wine. Okay.
Yes. We
started this podcast with wine. We still dabble with wine and Aperol spritzes and have some fun. This is going to be like, so, you know, Matt is like, oh yeah, by the way, Matt is, that's not actually Matt. If you're watching, Matt's doing his thing in Texas. Doing something with production and CrossFit. So he's always
Matt's
working.
Matt's doing Matt shit.
Seeing
making,
the world.
Making things move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we called in a homie, a friend, and we figured, let's dive into wine. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. So with that said, what's the format? What's the game plan? What'd you do? What's
going on over there? I brought three wines.
Okay.
I decided to make this pretty friendly.
Okay.
Wow. Because I know that between the three of us, none of us have tasted in a serious manner for quite some time.
Yeah.
I think I have.
I mean, okay, Nakoa has, but Nakoa, you're telling me that you've gone through the deductive method
Absolutely.
Of tasting
this
recently?
My glass still smells like tequila from the last time we did it.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I have this. You guys can start. I have some interesting CMS.
I also need a little more because I drank mine.
God damn it, Jeremy.
Well...
So if you're first time listening to one of these blind tastings, we used to do these more often and we have fun with them and we've done them more seriously and we're going to try and get these right. But it's always good practice. Savannah, myself and Nakoa are all wine professionals. Deductive tasting is something we do often. Like I said, whether it's completely serious or just kind of playfully, and this one will be a little playfully as I suck down fucking pork and beef ribs here with mac and cheese.
It's been a while. So this is just kind of warming up.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I'll let you guys start tasting while I also update you on some interesting things about the Quartermaster Sommeliers.
Hit me.
So went on today. I did get an email from them not too long ago, just kind of talking about the things that they were updating. Over the last year, they've created like plans. They've sent out surveys that I've participated in about what us members like want to see from the organization.
Oh.
And it's been cool. They actually like fucking updated shit. Like they actually have a policies as far as like act appropriate, like things that you would think are very basic company guidelines.
Oh, man.
They didn't have those really before. They have them now. Those are up on the website. One of the other things that they've updated is that they've updated the testable list, the testable wine or testable variety list. So they've updated that, which is really cool. And they have updated the deductive tasting method to add a few things on there. And what they didn't really have before, or what they didn't have in as much detail or as clear, is a syllabus, which is fantastic, and a overarching like study guide curriculum as far as what they're looking for the theoretical portion of the exam.
What was noted in like the tasting portion or what is testable? Was there anything about that, or they're like, hey, we just updated it? Or
they updated it and there was a things that were a few more specific. And the one thing that I liked, and I downloaded it, but and I get a chance to look at it noted? Yet was that they were talking about what wines are considered classic and why are they considered classic. And they have a big document on it. So I was like, okay, they really did think about what was being questioned.
Yeah.
And they went in. I didn't go into too much detail to see what wines had been added and what ones hadn't. Cab Franc was one that I did notice that they had added a sub appellation that's testable on it, which I thought was cool. But I'm really impressed.
Diablo Highlands.
I was feeling a little discouraged after, you know, one, just the sexual harassment issues that had happened. Sexual abuse that happened, which is so fucking inappropriate in every place, especially the workplace. And then with the testing issues that they had, where during one of the Master Somm tests, two people cheated.
Oh, the
and
cheaters.
Instead, what they did is they disqualified everyone,
which is whack.
Which is wrong. Really
so
whack.
So wrong.
And so, the CMS went through a big reckoning, and they took a lot of information. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, we want to know what you guys want to be different," and then you'll tell them, and they still won't do it. And you know what? I'll fucking give them this. They did some shit. And I was just like, okay. I was like, to see it actually changed on a website, to see that you guys added stuff on there, I was like, okay, these are the right steps.
So if you're not familiar with, particularly over the pandemic, the Court of Masters was exposed for a multitude of things that Savannah just touched on.
I don't think a lot of people know. What is the Court of Masters?
So, it is the...
We've talked about it quite a bit. Yeah. There's a few episodes you can go back on, but just to summarize for what it means for us, there's several different credential certifications that you could take to be what you would call a wine expert. The Quartermaster Sommeliers is one that is very prestigious and is mostly for people that work in the hospitality portion of wine. So not necessarily service, distribution, but in the service aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen the documentary Somm, which was extremely popular, covered the Master Sommelier's exam, because there's four levels for it. But there were some really big issues, some people that were high up that were abusing powers so inappropriately. So, and it was, for me, it was really upsetting because some of these people, I'd met some of these people who had done some atrocious things, and I would go around talking about how, oh my God, this person's a celebrity to me.
Yeah.
And then so that's just such a fucking letdown when you build somebody up so high and they've done something to hurt another person, other people that I really look up to as well. And it was fucking disgusting.
Exactly what they did, but so the issues that lied around with this particular organization is just the mystique and the secrecy and how and why decisions were made, be it from the testing and the credentials, or even in case why some people were, passed tests and whatnot.
Yeah. But, no one knows how you did. If you pass, you pass. If you don't, you don't.
They don't tell you what you missed. Unclear.
Yeah. A lot of wine exams or certifications are like that. And it is tough because you don't know if they're judging you just because of your character or judging you because what is actually being judged, what it should be judged. And that's kind of,
And what it was is that they were a place that was a good old boys club and they had been for a really long time. And the only thing that's different from them and any other good old boys club is that they just hadn't been called out on it yet
because it was sexy. It was sexy, prestigious, it felt good. Mm-hmm. They make you feel good. They charm you.
You look like a celebrity.
And my experience was not that, but after that stuff came out, I remember thinking to myself, cause I became a sommelier because I knew it was the next step to get where I needed to go. It was a tool. Not that I was in love with being a sommelier and I was going to do it till I became a master. No, I needed to learn more. I worked in restaurant and this was the avenue that I needed to take. But even when I was doing it, there was just something that was there that was like, this is awesome. I'm sitting here drinking wine as I learn.
As work, right?
It was a wonderful history lesson and I would do it again. But there was always something relative to the social.
The system, the dynamic.
The system, the social configurations that was like, something isn't right for me. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just me. but let me get through this. Let me pass my test and like I'll go on and be me. But there was something, and who knows what it was. But like when it came out, I was like, I'm glad my gut was telling me something to pay attention.
Oh, was like on, yeah.
It was just like, so like, you know, I was, yeah, my gut was.
It just, yeah, there was weird power dynamics where I just feel like things, I don't understand where people thought that this was like ever appropriate, but what it was is people who got higher in their horse and had like the power to evoke mm-hmm. over other people. Mm-hmm. And so the people that were lower felt like they couldn't say anything or do things. And it was abuse. It was like, there was a terrible story about a black female psalm who during an exam, she would talk to the master sommelier
I'm going. Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, you have to call me master.
You have to call me master. Yeah.
It's
like,
fucking...
Like, hearing it right now makes me so sick. Like, the fucking tone deafness of that. And just like, are you fucking kidding? First of all, I would never, as a white person, I would never fucking, like, I would be like, are you on crack? Like, that's like such a weird thing. Because that's never anything
like,
that...
Shut up, Doug.
That's nothing the court has ever required. You don't have to refer to people as master whoever.
That's what happens when...
Shit like that.
That's what happens when the rules aren't clear. The system isn't written. So...
Yeah.
To Savannah's point, you know,
now that we're all like mad,
an encouraging point. They have taken it because like they were losing psalms, they were losing, mm-hmm. you know, people even like sommeliers stopped wearing pins. Yeah, they didn't want to be affiliated with it. They didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
they were losing it. So the people that act, you know, and not everyone's a piece of shit, but like you know,
But it's the system that it supports, and that was kind of it. Is you're like, mm-hmm. there's plenty of master sommeliers that are like fantastic people who are backing up because you're like, the problem isn't the people, the problem is the system that allowed the abuse and like this grossness to fucking happen.
So it's glad to hear all of those things. There's a whole lot more transparency.
It's for sure just a first step, but it was encouraging to see
which is huge. Because even as someone who passed my sommelier test, I wish I knew a little more about what the fuck
I
meant.
I didn't, you know what still bothers me for mine is that I passed, but I was like, by how much?
You don't know.
Or like, also, can you tell me what I did wrong then so that I can improve upon whatever that thing was?
Study up more.
Like, and they'll give you, they gave us like kind of brief notes of like,
you did well you did well in that. But it was feedback. It wasn't a score. It wasn't a grade.
Yeah. No.
It was opinion.
Yeah.
It was good feedback, but it wasn't like, all right, cool, thanks.
Some parts of it, like, I think the crazy thing is that you are reaching a score. So it's like, if you guys are scoring us, there shouldn't be a problem with giving us back that score then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There shouldn't be a problem. What's the problem then?
But they got to keep it a secret. So with that said, we have our first wine in front of us.
We do.
And it smells like things.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, we've been doing this talk.
Looks like things.
So, I mean, I'll just get after it. It's got this soft and creamy vibe to it, particularly on the nose and
on the initial,
you know, kind of front palate. It is full. It's got this cool candy citrus thing. It's got this like candied, you know, the green rings when you're at the movie theater.
Like an orange sorbet. You know,
somebody's been hanging out in some cool restaurants.
I can dig that little orange sherbet action there. But there's
son
definitely
of a bitch. You're right.
Yeah. There's tropical fruit. It ultimately finishes very snappy and tart. You know, which to me is like there's no malolactic on this, so that creaminess is either coming from neutral oak, you know, lees stirring in my opinion, or residual sugar. It's a nice wine.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of two things. It makes me think of two varietals. I think Albarino and Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
What are you guys thinking over there?
I know what this is, so I'm not going to say anything.
You know, part of me wants to go her bias of a Riesling.
No. That's not deductive. You can't go based upon me. You have to go based upon what it's not.
It is screaming Riesling to me, or Albarino. I had a few. Actually, I just tasted Albarino from Fabulous out in Central Coast. And this kind of rings that high acid.
It's got gray acid, and I, you know, if
nice
it were
body, if it why were not Riesling? Why not Riesling?
Because if Savannah brought us a Riesling, it'd be from Alsace, and it would smell like Chevron. That's why.
No, if I brought a Riesling, it would be from the Mosel.
It would
or it'd be from anywhere in Germany. Actually,
I just so like now I'm gaming the gamer, which is not the right answer.
You're not supposed to do that.
Don't do that.
While you guys are thinking, I had never had this wine before.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
You've never had this bottle. You've had this varietal, obviously.
I've had this variety. Okay.
Yeah, then what the fuck is it?
I have not had this bottle before. This is from a really like classic region. This is very testable. Oh. I'll be curious to see where you guys go with it. I feel like this is very testable. However, while I'm tasting it, I'm like, oh wait, was I being kind of mean? But I had never tasted it before, so now I feel kind of mean. Like,
wait.
Well, there's this. The acid. I know, right? The acid is.
Well,
great.
I'm just like, if I were to blind this, I'm like, oh man. Like typically, when I choose this variety, I feel like I'm being nice when I choose it. Like I feel like it's very distinct. But then as I'm like going through this, so I'm like, cool. Oh, this is such like, a great example fresh. Of this variety. And
from where
like,
it comes what, from or something or what?
It's a great example of what this variety can do. But as I'm smelling it, I'm like, oh, fuck, this could be like just based on the nose and like all the floral aspects of it. Like it would lead me in so many different directions. So instead of narrowing the gap, to me, it's widening the gap. And that wasn't my intention of doing this.
It wouldn't be a Pinot Grigio, right? Right?
No, I mean, it's too aromatic.
Pinot Gris is testable, but this wouldn't be an example of a testable Pinot Gris.
I think the weight, the body's right, in my opinion, but I think it's too aromatic. I think the acid is too high, in my humble opinion, for Pinot Grigio. Unless it were coming from Oregon, but it would be thinner.
Let's do this then. If you feel like acid is high.
I think acid is high.
If you feel like acid is high, and why don't you pick New World, Old World, and then start going from there?
New World.
Okay.
I can be convinced it's Old World.
Okay. Why don't you guys start following those trails down and making the argument?
I think it's Albarino. Real spacious.
Cool.
But like, I could be totally convinced this is fucking Sauv Blanc, but it's just not as overtly pyrazinic. But
no,
it
like,
does have
punch
that
of,
pithiness in the back that it's Sauv Blanc.
Yeah, but the Sauv Blanc I feel like would be a little bit more sharper as an acid. This is more like creamier, rounder, like you were saying.
Sauvignon Blancs are getting leastered these days, though, man. People are doing weird
shit.
Well,
if you go Sauv Blanc, I would say, but you're saying Old World.
If this were Sauv Blanc, I would have gone New World.
Okay.
So like, which is like also, come on, Jeremy, pick one. But if I think it's Albarino, it's just too tart. It's not Albarino. It's
Sauv Blanc from Washington is my call.
All right. Now this is California Sauv Blanc. I retract.
Dang.
It is,
I'm sticking with it.
Do you guys, are done. That's it. You're calling
it. I'm done.
California Sauv Blanc.
Okay. Over it.
So do you want
me
to give
you? You said Riesling? You're going with
it. Riesling Washington.
That's not even testable, Nakoa. it should start being testable because that is becoming a popular. Not just that, but like it's a popular variety from a popular region. It is growing.
Oh yeah,
growing. I feel like
it's,
that should
it's
be
been
testable
for years.
There's a lot of wines that should be considered testable at this point. Anyways, so now that I'm thinking about it more, this was kind of a fucked up one to do, and I didn't think about it that much. I wasn't as intentional as I should have been. I'm a really big fan. How about I start dropping some information?
What
you guys
it?
Start
All
picking
right.
the clues.
All right.
So I'm a really big fan of this grower. He's one of my favorite people in the world. And specifically, this wine house primarily makes wines that are sparkling. Which now that I'm thinking about it, is that this specific variety, if you were to have pulled stuff specifically for sparkling, what we're pulling it at lower Brix, right?
Yeah.
And we're pulling it when it's fresher and it's cooler.
This better not be a fucking Chardonnay. Are you
no
kidding
way.
Me?
No way. No way. Is it
so
a Gloria Ferrer shard?
It's a Gloria Ferrer.
Dude, that's messed
what?
Up.
I'm so sorry.
That's messed up.
It's so good, though.
Hey, I'm going to start pulling the Psalm scene. We're like, no, this has to be Sutter Home.
No, yeah, no.
Sutter Home.
Where's
there's
this
no
tennis
way.
Ball? Yeah. There's fucking tennis ball in
there's
this.
No
Shout
way.
Out to Brad Kurtz, the grower.
Is that right, huh?
So I want to say, actually, Brad may have even given me this bottle.
It's Carnero's shard.
It's Carnero's shard.
He is hard for shard too. He's a hard for shard kind of guy.
Like cool region where you're going to get really fantastic sparkling wine grapes. I'm curious. We'll have to ask Brad what this was.
We need to do this again. This
we should
is
call. We should call Brad right now and be like, "Hey, what were the bricks? What was this picked at?"
Yeah,
fucking Brad.
But isn't that not beautiful?
That's a wonderful wine. I would drink a lot of that.
Yeah,
and it's a nice. It's even better.
Now that I think about it, it wasn't.
You did a good job as a shard.
Yeah, that's neutral oak, man. That's a neutral oak shard. That's gotta be.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, this is a great example of what shard can be. This is 22.
22.
This is a great example of what shard can be.
Yeah. I would get that so wrong good. Every time.
Yeah, I know.
At least I was in New World.
Man, that's Chardonnay. Oh, I'm so disappointed. Wow. That is lovely. Well done, Gloria.
It's fantastic. Good job. You guys keep talking while I get the next wine.
Jeez. I think it's a good compliment that you're calling it an old world wine, you know?
You know, 100%,
classic,
right?
Because you're calling it a classic, you know, wine that you believe that it's what it stands for, you know?
Well, you know, and it had that, like, it was, like I said, it was creamy. So, oh, damn. I thought it was, damn, that's the trip. So, Chardonnay.
Chardonnay can be fun.
It's a trip because how it's being produced. I mean, it's generally Chardonnay like is a boring varietal. Hence why like you often find
barrel. From New World, yeah. For
I think,
sure.
I've heard it was called like the, what is it?
The winemaker's canvas.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Like, I think for New like World, it could be.
It's chicken. Yeah, you know, you sprinkle seasonings on
whatever
it. Whatever
seasoning like you want.
New
jerk,
World
you know?
Shard has traditionally been pretty lame, pretty boring. Mm-hmm. However, you put a Chablis in front of me, that shit's fucking interesting. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
But
even then, this Carneros one was a bit finish your statement, but like even Chablis are pretty straightforward.
Straightforward, but like there's a little bit more they're extremely different from a New World Chardonnay or what the New World Chardonnays looked like in the early 2000s and 90s.
I think Chablis like pull back a little bit more on the flavor profile. They're like not watery, but like
they're lean.
They have amazing like mineral notes to them that we don't typically get
the complexity.
Here. And now what's happening though is that I would say a lot of our winemakers and growers understand Chardonnay better than the previous generations 100%. Did. And like they're making really
you're
great
me
ones.
They're not just oaking the crap out of it or throwing oak
Ron
on Bauer oak.
Is $42 in grocery stores now. Sorry.
That's crazy. But also like an oaked I don't mind things being oaked. It just
not
has to be
all.
Done right.
Just
you know?
Respect it. That's
like,
all.
Just respect it. And Dave, I can't remember what vintage it was, but it was from Fong Vineyards and his Cassio shard. I was like a really big fan of. We poured that BTG.
Fong's up there on Crane Ridge up on the top there. I think like on the left
and
side.
And to me, like that's a really good example of something that like that has oak, but it's not the only thing you taste. You're tasting a bunch of other things. It's a really multifaceted wine.
And it was, like I said, like wine in the New World, wine in California is still... It's less than 100 years old. I mean, not less than 100 years old, but like I say, less than 100 years old as far as like this new technology wave. Mm-hmm. Like wine got good, very good,
I think
not
people,
too long ago.
You know, over time, you get to work with it and you understand there's more data, you know, and by then
you learn your climate better.
Yeah. You learn
so
things.
That's one of the best Chardonnays I've had in a while. Wow. Well done, Team Gloria.
Shout out to Team Gloria. Shout out to Brad Kurtz.
Yeah. You got me good. Shit. Like I said, I would have got
sorry,
that
wasn't very nice. I should have, I'd never had it before. If I had, I wouldn't say it's very testable because this is an extremely uniquely tasting lovely wine.
But I'm glad you did it.
Yeah.
Because it tasted like
it was an eye opener. Like we need to taste more.
Give this one some time to breathe.
Yeah.
I gotta get a few of those in my cellar. So you know, we're not, like I said, this is playful. We don't have a grid in front of us, but you know, if there's any, you know, wine professionals or, you know, it's the most important thing when blind tasting is and deductive tasting is a better word for it. So as a reminder, you're trying to convince yourself what the wine can't be versus trying to convince yourself what the wine can be.
I thought you were going to go with just drinking with friends, but we can get to that.
Yeah,
too.
Well, you know, that too. I mean, that's what we're doing today, but it's a fun practice. Wow. It's a fun practice. It makes you think about things. It makes you think about the world of wine. And I would get that Chardonnay wrong
every time.
Yesterday and tomorrow.
Yeah. It's really great.
It had fruit characters that
I
don't
associate with.
I think I'm
going to pump this and save it for Sunday.
The candied citrus.
The challenge is over.
Complexity.
And the tropical fruit, which is like,
depth.
That's Albarino, but then it was sharp.
Tropical fruit is a really common, I think we forget that it is a common undertone in Chardonnay, but typically what ends up happening is that it shows up as overripe pineapple, and this is coming off like way brighter.
Fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was getting more tart. Zest. Yeah. Like a.
And they're also, like as Savannah said, they're a sparkling house, man. So their wines are crispy.
Yeah.
Crispy.
Do you remember when Brad came in, he let us try all of like the And I was like, this is fantastic. And like the enamel was like falling off of our teeth because it was such high acid. No, I was treating a reel this morning
and I was going back through the Gloria. That was a, if you want a good episode, go back to the Gloria Ferrer
with Brad Kurtz.
Yeah.
We drank some nice things, man.
We need to get Brad back on here. We should get him back on here. His in-laws have some property now here in Livermore.
Oh, I heard that.
And they're going to start making some stuff with Brad, you know, kind of at the helm, him and Allie. So
good for him.
We got to get them back in here. It's great to have Brad back in the valley.
Come back.
I know. It's really exciting.
Okay. So we're on line two, just for you guys. You guys, time check for you. What time you got to be back at the gym?
Soon. Don't worry about it. Go fast.
We'll keep, I just can't wait to eat these ribs. Hope you're enjoying, listeners. Hope you're drinking something. It's Friday. It's chill. We're just talking our shit and enjoying a little bit of glass of wines here. We're 5-6 episodes into the season. We're enjoying ourselves. It's our second episode without a guest. Well, we have a guest today.
Yeah.
And we're tasting wine, something we love to do and we haven't been able to do in probably too long. So.
Should we just spit out some like noses right now?
Yeah. I mean, we're on those.
Yeah. I got white peaches. But like, I don't know. Kind of like, I don't want to say jammy. Fresh jammy?
No,
I don't know. It's weird.
Would you say crushed fruit then?
Yeah.
But you're saying stone fruit?
Yeah.
I think there's still some sulfur blowing off from this. How long have these been open?
when I got here.
Okay. So I think there's still some sulfur.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like also
I pulled
like,
this from our cellar. I went to our
downstairs.
I went to our wine storage unit.
It's also like pulled a few of these. Tastefully oxidized, right?
I think so. Yeah. So, I pulled this one cause I was really worried. I was like, oh no, like I need to like get you out there into the world. It's one of my, it's one of my favorites. And I was like, oh, I don't want you to go past your prime. And I was just like a little bit concerned. It still has like, that kind of like oxidized, almost like farty note to it.
Yeah.
Like that really low undertone, like on the back end.
Who aren't, you know, watching, this is a white
wine. If you do ever have something and it smells kind of like a fart, keep giving it some air. Keep giving it some oxygen because that's just the sulfur just needs to blow off.
You got to remember, like the wine's trapped in that bottle until you let it out. And like sometimes it just takes a minute to.
Got
to
let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
The dogs out.
Right?
Okay, well, luckily it's not too cold.
It's like, you know, you wake up in the morning, your breath stinks too. Brush that shit. Does that have nothing to do with anything?
Is it chalky?
I haven't tasted it yet. Ooh. I hope, but I'm glad you said that. So I'm getting oxidative. I like the stone fruit call.
I kept this one longer than I should have. Mm-hmm. That makes me really sad.
I like the stone fruit call.
I think it's...
It's still fine.
Yeah.
But
it's on the cusp. It's
but
on the
like,
end.
It's my absolute favorite when it's at its Riesling, prime.
Calling it.
Nicole, you can't base it off of me.
I think going back.
It is one of my favorite varieties.
I think going back to every tasting, I think Nicole always picks Riesling whenever you're pouring.
Yeah. it's not a bad call. But like, I also will very rarely pour a Riesling in a blind because one, the only testable Rieslings are coming from Alsace or from the Mosel. Mm-hmm. And they're so distinctive on the nose.
So what? Like they're fucking awesome.
Gonna,
pour us a Riesling.
Yeah. No, you're not going to miss it. So then it defeats
the purpose. As my buyer would say, don't be a cheap ass.
Don't be a cheap ass. This is...
I'll bring it to drink. Yeah. We're not going to blind it.
So I am leaning towards Old World.
Okay. Why?
So particularly because it smells fresh. It is particularly tart. And also just, those two particularly. It smells fresh. It's particularly tart. And it's got this trippy, fresh aged thing going on, which like I think it's a varietal that has a tendency to oxidize / deteriorate quicker than other varietals potentially.
Yeah.
So even while they're young, they can still show significant, you know, leaps of age in them and still be wonderful. It feels like I'm whittling it down.
Yeah.
Maybe a little faster than I should, but the chalkiness.
Now, what would be the difference then? Because you're like saying, no, like it's this fresher, it's this crisper kind of a thing. But like, you know, there's plenty of colder wine regions that are New World. So what to you is separating this from some of those other like colder or like these wine regions that would produce something that's crisp?
I still think it. So for me, I think it. So it comes to the quality of fruit condition and texture.
Mm-hmm. I think if there was to add to that note, I would say like complexity is a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Old World really drives into the terroir and very much so just like try and promote what they really believe in that. Every conversation, every interview you talk to a winemaker, they're like, oh, terroir.
I like where you're
talking
going
about
there
like because, it's a lover.
Yeah. Because like to that point, it's, you know, this isn't a wine where like I'm getting crazy complexity relative to fruit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm getting more terroir driven complexity as well, which is another indicator to me that it might be a cooler climate, old world driven. Because even a cooler climate here in the new world, you generally still get riper iterations of fruit.
It
might be underripe
and maybe
pineapple,
like lower like, minerals
and definitely
or earth aspects to it.
And,
yeah,
you know, so like I get more texture. The chalky call was great. I love that mineral. Like so.
Yeah.
It's a combination of perception of fruit and like terroir driven texture that is as well as like it's just tart it's crispy it's a lot of things
high in alcohol also I want to call it a new world. I don't know, there's some heat on the back end when I let it just sit for a little.
So
okay, so here's a question. Mm-hmm. There's heat on it. Is there for sure high alcohol heat, or is that because this is slightly oxidized?
Slightly oxidized. This is Chenin Blanc.
Chenin or Chenin?
Chenin Blanc. This is Chenin Blanc.
That's a good call.
Which, if it's Chenin Blanc and it's testable, where would it be from?
Oh, man. Up there.
Loire.
Yeah, Loire. What's the region in Loire, though? It's Loire, but fucking...
Rhone.
I think testable they only require anywhere like I think they require anywhere in the Loire for Chenin.
I haven't opened a book in a while. I swear we're Psalms guys, but
I know,
we're better
dude,
at
we're hella rusty
tasting.
No, but I'm pretty sure what the CMS is doing right now as far as testable, no, like they're bringing it broad to Loire, and then like it could be any sub appellation like within Loire, but I'm pretty sure they have it like pretty broad, whereas like some other varieties are very narrow, like you're not going to have Pinot from anywhere, like in France you're going to have Pinot specifically from the Côte d'Or.
I think it's from like Côte Blanc. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit me. Côte Blaise. Côte Blaise. No, I think this is Chenin Blanc. I mean, and
that's a good call. I want to agree with you, but
as soon
I need
as you
to
said chalky,
out.
And I, like while I was still in the nose, I was like, I'm so glad you made that call because
Fry Carano.
I haven't. This is Gloria Ferrano. This is Chardonnay. This is barrel aged.
No, okay, so what are our final calls?
I'm Chenin Blanc. And if you, it's probably 2000. If it's 2024 right now, and it's you think we drank it just too late? It's probably 2018 or 19 or some shit like that. It's probably not that old, which is why it's still fresh, but like it has an oxidative quality. So I'm going to say 2018 Chenin Blanc.
Nico.
I'll do Chenin, but I'm going to go with 2021.
Washington Riesling.
Finger Lakes in Washington.
Finger Lakes in Washington.
Okay.
Where, what vintage Chenin Blanc is this?
21. I'm calling 21.
Okay, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. And it better be fucking Chenin Blanc.
It's Bouillé Fumé.
Damn
it.
Damn. Wow.
It's Bouillé Fumé, which is Sauvignon Blanc for those of you who are not familiar.
I knew he was joking as a, you know, Ferrari cry of Fumé Blanc. And of course, this is.
No.
Wow.
What's the vintage on it? Double check it.
That's messed up.
Wow. 2020.
2020.
Damn it, so close. That's nice.
So,
wow, I'm
guys,
trash.
It was super aromatic, right? I mean,
oh,
it's super aromatic. It's giving grapefruit.
Is it?
Okay, I hate to say this,
giving
but
some stone.
I was leaning into Sauvignon Blanc, but
why
I was
didn't you go for it?
Second guessing myself.
Don't do that.
So, literally immediately after I told you to deduce and not tell yourself what it is, I went on to tell myself that this is fucking Chenin Blanc.
Chenin Blanc's not a bad call for this. I mean, we're at least in France.
Pouilly Fumé, are you kidding me? I was, but that's not even close.
This normally,
it's not even close.
I mean,
wow.
I'm trying to be generous with you guys.
Well, I'm losing followers.
My credibility right now.
Guys, we haven't tasted in a long time, so let's be nice to ourselves. And this is just a reminder that we need to taste more often. Not that we like don't taste like whatever it is that we're working with, but like tasting broadly. Yeah. We haven't tasted broadly.
Well,
in
this
a long
is
time.
Also like a pretty micro region. You don't drink too many Pouilly Fumés, guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I also like.
Also anything from Loire, unfortunately, is getting like expensive right now, or just like France in general is getting expensive, which like bums me out because I'm a big fan of French wine, specifically like the Loire. I really like that.
Or even Rhone, right?
I'm a big fan of Rhone wines sure. Yeah.
Rhone could get down for
that
sure.
That is so Sauvignon Blanc. I'm so disappointed.
Wow.
Man. Hey. So, I mean, if you were, what kind of advice, like, how would you, this is a tough one. So, if you're just listening, right? And like, oh, that's pretty cool. They blind tasted. What's two pieces of advice that you would give someone if they wanted to try blind tasting at home?
Yeah.
And have never done it. How do I blind taste?
Yeah, how do you blind taste? Two things. Shoot.
How to blind taste like us or just like in general?
In general, if you're listening to this podcast and
I think yeah, if you're tasting, you know, for the first time, my two advices I think is I like to think of myself, and this is an experience that like I think everybody should experience.
Pour it on my leg.
I think people should experience this or have already is walk yourself through a farmer's market. Think about the things that you see and smell. You know, and smell and taste or restaurants, and then kind of associate the things that you smell to what you smell here in this glass.
So you're kind of like catalog certain things specifically with the things you like.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'd say,
if you don't have any base to start off of, you're not going to like,
you're like, I don't know how to describe
like,
this.
It's not going to smell like anything to you until you start bringing attention to the things that you.
So I would say like, you know, and if I was like, if you've never blind tasted before and you're like, that sounds like a good time, I'll invite some girlfriends out and let's do it.
Yeah.
Pick your four favorite wines that you know what they taste like, right? Like a lot, like everyone's got the few wines they like. Pick four wines and then set in some capacity. Like there's different ways to blind taste. There's like a complete blind. There's a half blind. It doesn't have to be complete. And then have someone else pick two of those wines.
Uh-huh.
You know what the four are.
Yeah.
And like your job is to pick out two of your favorite wines out of the four. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It might be a good.
Some people even just do like the same varietal, which is fun.
Yeah.
You can try and see other regions, which is really cool. And see, be like, you know, I like this cab from Central Coast versus a Napa cab.
That's a great way to start building
you know,
that muscle
a Livermore
memory.
Cab.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always fun because then you get to really see the difference in profiles.
And come up with your own. If you're just tasting for yourself, you don't have to use any of the vernacular that we use. Mm-hmm. Come up with your own.
Yeah.
Create your own list of vocabulary that differentiates it for you.
I'm pretty sure I've said dingleberry on here before.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just like descriptors, but just like sometimes descriptors. Yeah. But more so people will come up with, I don't know, they'll make their own verbs up for it. Or
distinguish
it however you want.
And those are always fun because you're like, oh my God, you're right. It does remind me of that. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's fail this one too.
Yeah. No, we're going to nail this one for sure.
Interesting.
Zinfandel without seeing or
I know, right? I'm gonna deduce. I gotta remind myself to deduce with this one.
Oh, Jeremy, now every time I like think about Zinfandel, I think about the time where we went over to your place before I was taking my SOM test and you blinded us. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a Zinfandel, I fucking flopped on it so hard. And it was like, there was no reason because it was fucking Zinfandel. Like, it's one of the easier wines to get.
Where was it from?
From a testable region. Yeah. And then after somebody tells you, you're like, it's Zin, you're like, oh my God, how did I fucking miss this? Of course it's the Zin.
It's tough though, because like when you're in it, it's like when you like yeah, I think we, like
you
when you stare
guess
at
yourself.
When you stare at something too long or you read if you proofread your own writing too much, you miss things.
You have to have somebody else do it.
You're too close to it.
Too
close.
You guys were too close to a test, too far into your notes, and you got, which was probably best that you got.
Yeah.
Cuz then like it you,
getting got is good.
Getting got is good cuz you'd stand away and you're like, "Fuck."
Yeah.
Like that.
Because like, you're not going to get God again.
But then,
you're going to get me again.
You know, you learn from your mistakes. And from then on out, you're never going to forget because Savannah clearly remembers that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if she poured me that Chardonnay tomorrow again, I'd get it wrong.
Yeah.
Well, Marshawn Lynch says something that really resonated with me. And it's just like, you know what? Sometimes in life, you're going to get got. But I'm going to get mine more times than I get got.
That's hella deep.
And it was deep. And I'm like, he's fucking right.
Deep in the streets.
Get got more than you get got. I just ruined that. Okay.
I normally fuck it up every time, so I don't know how I didn't fuck it up this time. But
this smells lovely for starters.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
So kind of has this, to me, it kind of has like this dried ripe quality to it. I get like red fruit. It's good. You know,
this, a white paper. Can I get your white paper here?
Sure.
Kind of cranberry palm vibes to it.
It's probably better.
Thanks. I mean, color.
It's also got a little herbaceousness to it, which I'd super dig. What is that though?
It does have a good little cranberry note to it.
It's like
I've missed wine. I haven't tasted wine in a really long time. Yeah. I'm realizing how much I missed this.
So if you're still sticking with us, guys, pardon us if we're rusty. We just haven't done this in a while, and we're excited to be back. So
some like cocoa or like
There's definitely some wood on there for sure. So let's call that wood spice. Kind of like espresso dust.
Oh, wow. I'm so happy with this.
Espresso dust is kind of nice.
This is beautiful.
Espresso dust. And it's just, I don't know what it is exactly, but it's like, it's dried herbs.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
it's like a dried bundle, like a mixed bundle. Something that I would like toss in, like, I don't know.
Like my new herbs to Paisano coming out here soon.
How exciting.
But it's like a dried herby kind of vibe. I don't know exactly specifically.
When are you going to make me my Herbe de Provence? Which California?
It's already out. California Bloom is still coming, but
you're going to make me my version of it. Yeah.
That's the I'm waiting. I have to find a vendor that has beautiful edible flowers to put into it, and I'm probably going to save it for my wine.
But Herbe de Provence is out. You got one?
Herbe de Paisano is out, and it's
and that's what you're calling. Oh, I see what you did there.
It's Italian seasoning meets Herbe de Provence.
Meets is there lavender?
No lavender. I had to kick that out.
Damn it, Jeremy.
I'm saving that for California Bloom. Take it easy.
Okay.
But this one's nice. Business. You can actually find it at Wing and Bakery now. They're using it on their pizza nights. It's their pizza sprinkle.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got a few new coming out. I've dialed in my futakake. I'm actually.
Oh, fuck yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm texting.
I'm happy with
it. Bruh, I think you're going to like it.
Oh, man.
It's taking me a minute to get there.
I haven't had futakake in a long time. And because somebody, but you know.
Well, you don't like futakake?
No, it's I don't just like it on like the snack things. Like it doesn't belong on there. It belongs on like
it
a full
on everything.
No,
everything.
It belongs on a
it's
full
like everything
dish.
Everything bagel, but Asian. It's, you know?
It belongs on a full dish for me.
Just like musubi in futakake.
And so here's also the problem though is that I don't like snacks.
Yeah.
I want a meal. Don't fucking put a snack in front of my face. Give me a fucking steak
you
or get
a
out
snack.
Of here. Nicole's a whole meal.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, don't ask.
He's got snackable parts.
That put together an entire meal. I like it. There actually I want to say it was like a it was like a squid ink pasta and it had the futakake on it and it was really good. Mm-hmm. And I like it like that. But I don't really like it on snack foods. And also it's stinky.
I'm eating on Pinot or cat.
So if you're not in the mood.
I can feel where you're headed with, I would say it's more
Hold on. You're leaning towards Pinot or Cab.
I know.
The two most different.
Well, let me explain why. Chill, dog. Chill.
Chill,
Cab. Nicole normally tells me, chill, Poppy.
So, Pinot, because it on the nose, it's very, it's not screaming at me.
It's got organic nature to it, right?
Maybe. Yeah. There's like some sort of, just like, it's. I like to, it almost smells like, you know, if I'm just on a cliff and, you know, the wind's just blowing.
Okay.
Sounds so lame, but.
No, it sounds delightful. Just like we very, should go like, do that this
like,
weekend.
Not refreshing, but it's like a breeze. Like it's cool. It's like chill.
So what I'm, literally what I'm hearing is you might think it's cool climate, which I can totally dig.
So explain to me the why you would get this confused with caps off.
If it were a cab, it would be high elevation cap. Probably old world. Until you taste.
And is that
the
testable?
Cab, I'm getting a lot of the tannins, you know.
It's not testable. I wouldn't be that fucked up.
Neither
to you
is
guys.
That Chardonnay.
Technically is. It's a Carnero shard, but that one specifically is, yeah.
But it's
I get
stupid
it.
Good. It
it's
doesn't sound
really
fair.
Good.
So, but until you taste it, though. Because, like, I was with you, and then you taste it, and it's.
And then
it's not tannic enough.
It's not, yeah.
So I think it's like it's dried, it's ripe, it's red fruited to me, cranberry, palm. Mm-hmm. I can't specifically, but like it's dried herb.
Beautiful.
And like a bundle of them, kind of herb.
I don't want you guys, guys, don't overthink this. I feel like you've laid out all the reasons why this wine should be what it is.
See, but I'm going to say Pinot and it's going to be Grenache.
You know what? Pinot and Grenache do fuck me up sometimes. It's stupid. It makes me so mad.
It's not real, huh?
No.
Let's talk about what it isn't. Give me like two varieties each that it isn't.
Well, it's nothing.
It's not Zin.
It's not, yeah. It's not Zin. It's great. Not, you know, it's not Sangiovese.
It's not Sangio. No. Nope.
It's not Sangio.
Okay. What's Sangio's cousin? Nebbiolo. Well, not actual genetic cousin, but like in spirit would be Nebbiolo. Is this Nebbiolo or not?
No. Way okay. Not big enough. No.
Missing a lot of tannin to be Nebbiolo.
Missing a lot of tannin.
It's not Schiavo, that's for sure. Yeah, it's
not, and that's not even testable.
It's not Gamay.
It's not?
No.
Wow.
And Gamay is probably not even testable right now anyway.
No, I think Gamay is, but specifically.
But like Gamay is like way light, Beaujolais. Fruity.
Malbec is, it's not Malbec.
Not dark
it's
enough, not dark, inky enough. It would be from South America. So like it really does take you to a couple places. And for me, it's Grenache or Pinot. When I stuck my nose in there, I was like, fuck, not this debacle again.
But the tannins is not. It's there and it's throwing me off a lot.
Do me a favor.
It's Pinot.
I want you guys to judge this really quick. Take a sip. I want you to judge the body. I want you to judge the alcohol and I want you to judge the acid. Just those things. Give me medium plus, high, low.
Body, acid.
Body, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Acid and alcohol.
Yaddy, 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 yaddy. So the acid is like medium, high, high. This is like. Literally, like, I'm seeing it, and I'm trying not to tell myself it's Pinot, but, like, it's medium acid.
Body minus. Medium minus.
Medium, yeah. Body, and, like, it's a light-bodied wine. The tannin is, it's...
It's there.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's soft. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's pronounced, but just, like, velvety? Just subtle. It's subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so with that in mind, what is this?
It's Pinot.
Okay.
So it's Grenache.
Where is that from?
In parentheses, Grenache.
Where is this from? Is this old world or new world?
Ooh, that's where.
Damn.
Do you want me to take it easy on you guys?
No.
Okay.
Hit us.
I think it might be Central Coast, like Santa Lucia Highlands. Mm. Unless it's like Burgundy.
Mm. This is a Sonoma Pinot.
Get out of here.
It's Sonoma.
Don't tell me that. No, it's not. It can't be. It better not be. It is.
It's Occidental.
No, I would never. That wine is so expensive and dear to my heart. I would never pour that in a blind tasting because I covet it like a dragon.
Nicola has an intimate relationship with the cellar they collectively keep at their house. So
I take inventory. I'm like, check.
Yeah. I would. The Freestone Occidental 2021 is one of my favorite Pinots of all time, and I would never blind taste it because I covet it.
Yeah,
acid is too high for a Pinot.
No, it's too high to be a the Sonoma Santa Pinot? Lucia that I think it is. But it's got the savory fruit character. It's likely Burgundy.
You're right, because Santa Lucia is a little warmer.
Sonoma Coast Pinot.
Okay, that's my are you guys ready?
Yeah,
hit me.
You guys did a lot better this time. I'm proud of you.
So we got it wrong.
She's like, it's Zinfandel.
It's Zinfandel. Is it Oregon?
It's Oregon.
Oregon.
It's Willamette. Wow. It is Pinot Noir. I think the Sonoma is a good call because it's a very similar region to here. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Eola Amity, which is part of Willamette
Did
Valley.
She say it yet?
She didn't.
Oh, okay. What's your guess?
It's 2024. My guess is that's... It's still pretty. It's doing nice. Yeah. My guess is 2020.
Oh, man.
What was yours?
I want to go 21, 22.
It's 21.
Mm.
Yeah, Livinia. This winemaker spent a significant amount of time in Burgundy.
Mm-hmm. That does give some vibes of Burgundy.
Significant amount of time.
Wow.
So you're telling me
is known for replicating fantastic like Burgundy aspects for a fraction of the price.
So you're telling me it could be Grenache?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Well, good job. You guys got this one.
Hey, we did it.
There.
We
so
we got it.
So next blind tasting will be on me.
On well, maybe we'll have and cheers to the chef. Outside of that stupid good Chardonnay, those were great wines. That should if we were peak Somme, we probably would have got those because they were specifically because like they tasted exactly like they should, which is always the toughest part about blind tasting. Which is why I'm curious to see.
You just got
to
get out of your own way.
Yeah,
and that's the hardest thing to do.
That's why I'm curious to see the new updates at the Court of Masters, because I would love to. I have my ideas, my notes I took as far as what defines classical.
Yeah.
But like that's always one of the most challenging things to chat with people about is like, I don't blind taste with everybody because like your classical expression of something might not be.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, well, not necessarily mine, but like, but what's quite frankly being tested on. And like, that has a lot to do with it.
Or like, there's lots of wines that we named. And then I was just like, but that's not testable. And we're like, wait, why isn't it? Like, why it should it? Be, right?
So,
fairness, it would be, once you get to the advanced level, a lot of more, there's a lot more things that are testable. And when you get to the master level, there's a lot more things that are testable. But in regards to like WSET and the, and then the Masters of Wine, they have a very broad what's a testable
gamut of
gamut. Yeah, because they're not covering just things that are in the restaurant. They're covering things that are across all the markets on and off. And so they have to be familiar with things across different price points as well, whereas the CMS is focused on wines that are sold in the restaurant. Yep.
It's a different focus. So,
guys,
we're just going to wrap that up.
That's it.
We did it. So, a little rusty, but this was wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
We're going to do this again so that we're not rusty again.
That's the point. Cause I had a blast drinking wines. These wines are like lovely. I almost wish we just had more time to drink with them. Mm-hmm. Cause they are just such great expressions of where they come from and whatnot. So, we'll keep doing this, I promise. And there'll be a poll. There'll be a poll on Spotify specifically. If you want to hear more of this wine shit, let us know and we will certainly taste more wines.
Dude,
on
I got the podcast. Samples.
Savannah and Nicole got samples for days.
So much.
So I was like, get this out of here.
I'm tired of it overtaking my house.
Otherwise, that wraps up another episode, y'all. Hope the year's off to a good start. We appreciate the support. We're getting great feedback as always.
Thank you, guys.
And just having too much fun. If you know Nakoa, wish him a belated happy birthday. He can't wait to thank you personally.
Seriously,
with a 365 character response.
We're going on a second page.
Just saying thank you. It's enough. I promise. Just saying thank you is enough.
Otherwise, we're here in the beautiful Livermore Valley at the one and only Advanced Creative Studio, as always, in the heart of the Vascaro Majors District. And remember to eat local, drink local, and live local. Let's get the fuck out of here. I'm eating these ribs.
You were buffering there for a hot second.
I'm going to clip it out. Oh, man. Oh, no. John, keep it going, John. We forgot the shout out. Yo, if you know Chevy's Emeryville, it's going out of business April 22nd. You need to get there. It is the Chevy's on the water. It is the most important Chevy's and restaurant to the Bay Area. And if you've been to the Chevy's, you know. Homemade tortillas, the chip line that goes up the restaurant, and you're snatching them warm off the fucking thing. Well, our producer John's headed there tonight. I've made a reservation for 26 people. April 20th, we'll see you there. So fucking RIP. That's it.